Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
There's a course that I really enjoy a lot, and for me, it's a prayer to God. And we do it every Sunday at the end of service. Bind us together, Lord, with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together with love. That's a prayer. That's more than just some words on a page or a nice little song we sing at the end. It's a prayer up to God. The picture of unity is warm and inviting. The reality of disunity is cold and chilling to the bone. In disunity, there is chaos and wandering. In unity, there is direction. There's strength to spare. Young man had an old jalopy, and getting around town was kind of difficult because it was a lot of hills. So when he was at the top of the hill, he would pick up speed so he could get up the next hill. One day while he was doing this, he had a running start, and as he approached the bottom of the hill at full speed, trying to get enough steam to get up the next hill, he saw two cars crossing the street that he was on. So he calculated that if he slowed down just a little, he could miss the first car. And then he could speed up in time to miss the second one. The only miscalculation was that he failed to notice the first car was towing the second car. You see, he learned the hard way an important theological lesson. It's very difficult to divide things that are bound together. Whatever was binding the Christians together at Corinth had come unglued. There were four identifiable groups. The Paul group. These Gentiles converted to Christianity and turned their liberty in Christ into a license to do as they please. They liked Paul's emphasis on freedom. They disregarded, "Be you holy as I am holy." The Apollos group, the group had a fondness for knowledge, and unfortunately their intellectualism proved to be man's carnal wisdom. They were into all sorts of the neat things of the time, of the era. For instance, in Genesis 14 and 18, Abram circumcises 318 members of his household. The Greek number 18 is the same symbol for the first two letters in Jesus' name. In the Greek number 300 is a symbol of the cross. So therefore, to the Apollos followers, Abram's act symbolized the cross of Christ. Intellectuals had turned grace into philosophy. The Cephas group, the Jewish members of the Corinthian church that kept the law, they saw plenty of good in following Jesus, but they just didn't want to give up the traditions. The Christ group. As always, there's a group that claims exclusive rights to being in the right. The Christ group was a small, rigid sect, self-proclaimed as the only true Christians. There's no textual proof. However, it isn't hard to imagine that there were ones who had a pocket full of pride over the gifts of the Spirit. Four splinter groups, four cliques in the church. I kind of refer to them as the Gentile loose livers. the Apollos big thinkers, the Jewish unmovables, and the Christ Theo Eagle Club. Sound familiar? Paul says, don't be untied. And when Paul used the words divisions and united, he was giving a clear picture. Division is the word schism, a definite break in fellowship. And when he says united, he's using a medical term that describes the mending process. In broken bones, is when a bone breaks, the entire body is put on alert and all available resources are subject to fixing the break. It's like calling out the National Guard in a crisis. Paul said to the church, don't be untied. Be knit together. Even though you have been broken and have differences, refuse to be divided. What was untied that needed to be united? The mind. The mind is the seeing and perceiving faculty of the body. We have to look closely at what's happening in the body and perceive it together. The thought, according to Paul, is that faculty of judging or reasoning. Once we see clearly, then we can see healing. The uniting of the body can make and can take place when the healing begins. There was a new executive who went to his first high-level meeting, and at the end of the conference table, there was a person, the fellow kept saying things like, well, whenever it rains, it pours. It's a long road that has no turning. If life gives you lemons, then make lemonade. Exactly what does this guy do? The new exec asked his colleague. He gives us our unity, was the reply. We'd all like to strangle him. That approach may be fine for the world. However, in the body of Christ, personalities are never the issue. We're not to let personal likes and dislikes divide us. It's as if the hand says, okay, foot, you're ugly. You don't do anything. You just hang around at the end of the leg. You're not important. On the other hand, I feed the mouth. I wash the body, comb the hair. What little bit there is left. Pick up whatever this body needs. The foot said, okay. Have it your way. I just sit here. And when you need someone to carry you to that food that you feed us, or into that shower to wash us, or to the comb, or anywhere else, us feet will just let the fingers do the walking. Untied isn't good. It's not godly. We are to be united. In 1 Corinthians 3:23, Paul says, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. We talk about fellowship in the church. The word indicates heritage rather than activity. A fellowship activity is meeting for ice cream in the fellowship hall. And that's not bad. That's not bad. I kind of like that idea. But it doesn't meet the Bible's definition. The word fellow denotes a common heritage or ancestry. We don't have fellowship as much as we are a fellowship. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit saying to us, you are not divided in Christ, so act like it. When we think about other religions in the world, well, you know, them are no good. Ours is the best. If you believe like me, you're going to heaven. If you don't, bye. Where's God's grace? One of the churches I served here some time ago, a lady from the community and from another denominational church came to me and she said, I'd like to visit with you about baptism. And I thought, whoop, wrong subject to be talking to somebody else about. But when she got to talking about it, the church she belonged to believed in submersion, which is fine. You know, I don't care how God wants it done, you just get it done. But she said the pastor there had written a letter to her two sons who were out of high school, and you know, most people that age, church is not real important in their life. And he said that if they didn't start attending church regularly, he was going to revoke their baptism. And she wanted to know if that could happen. Talk about tough situation. What would you tell her?
No.
A little more than no, maybe. But where's God's grace in that? And as I thought about today, I thought about, I have a younger brother. Poor kid, it's tough. He has to live in Hawaii. He's Catholic. Devout Catholic. Nothing wrong with that. His wife's Buddhist. She practices her religion every evening. She lights her incense. She prays to her Buddha. She has a little altar in their bedroom. The boys, they have three sons. They've been raised Catholic. She says, I'll go to church with you. I don't have any problem with that. But I will not change my faith. They have learned to deal with that out of their love for one another. That's the example you and I need to have. We need to deal with those things that are different out of our love for one another. Not out of our differences. If you don't believe the way I do, you don't think the way I do, then you don't count. Where's God's grace in that? You know, we sang Amazing Grace. It is amazing. But many times we want to cut it off. And you know, I've looked in the book that we call the Bible. I've searched and I've searched almost every word. And you know what? I can't find United Methodist Center nowhere. I can't find Presbyterian. I grew up a Lutheran. They're not even in there. I'm surprised my dad's not rolling over in his grave. He was a Lutheran. I believed that was the only way to go. But it's not in there. It just talks about Christians. And if you have a red letter edition, the guy that's speaking in the red lettering was a Jew. When we begin to judge others because of their faith, because of their belief system, we put ourselves above God. True or not? Kathleen and I both are United Methodist pastors. I'm retired though. But and we don't agree on everything theologically. There's differences. But there's one thing we do agree on. That's our unity. That's what makes us one. That's who we are. And I think a lot of problems in churches today would be solved with one little word, a little humility. Because you see, folks, it's not about us, it's about Him. We need to humble ourselves before Him. There's not anyone alive who couldn't stand a little dose of humility. Christ humbled Himself for us, even accepting the humiliation of a cross. The question comes down to obedience to God's word. Paul says to us to be united, not untied. And as you consider that, I want you to remember something. These words are spelled with exactly the same letters. It only depends in which position you put the I. May God's grace be on each of us through His Son, Jesus Christ.